like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today is Sue Martino, Executive Director of the Pet Project for Pets, a Fort Lauderdale-based organization that helps pet owners who are living with HIV/AIDS, have a terminal illness, or are disabled to continue living with and caring for their animal. Later in today's show, we'll also have a brief conversation with Kira Barrera, a Girl Scout leader from a troop in St. Petersburg that has decided, in pursuit of their Bronze Award, the highest honor a junior Girl Scout can achieve, to conduct a project dealing with animal neglect. And they're open to suggestion about exactly which organization or animals to help. So we'll talk about that, maybe match up some people later today in that way. Also, I want to remind you that 2 weeks from today, WNRS Winter Membership Drive will be underway. And that day, February 12th, I'll be raising money for the station. Talking Animals will, of course. It's crucial for us to raise much of that money before February 12th and ask you to consider donating via our tip jar. How about today? How about right now, even, while you're listening? Why not? I've posted a link to our tip jar on the Talking Animals Facebook page, as well as my own personal Facebook page. It's very easy to do, and similarly, you may want to consider an early pledge. We have a pretty fantastic exclusive thank you gifts for pledges of various levels, ranging from incredible tickets to see Paul Simon and Sting coming up on their big tour, performing separately and together, as you probably know, to amazing tickets to see Red Hot comedian Aziz Ansari, to a 6-week basic obedience class offered by Home Buddies by Camp Bow Wow of Tampa Northeast, and many more things. For details on these and other thank you gifts, you can visit talkinganimals.net, or you'll find a link to the website on the Facebook pages, the same place you'll find the link to our tip jar. And in case you think my description of how great these tickets are might be hyperbole, the Aziz Ansari tickets, for example, are in the orchestra pit, third row. So you're practically on stage with Aziz. And again, they just announced that last week, and I think almost all the good seats are long gone, and the whole thing's just about sold out, as the other dates they've just announced are. So when I say red hot, no hyperbole there either. Anyways, right now, let's hear an animal song while acknowledging the passing of the great Pete Seeger. This is Pete Seeger doing Old Gray Mule on Talking Animals.
My uncle had an old gray mule, his name was Simon Slick. About anything you ever did see was how that mule could kick. Oh, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say, keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. I went to feed that mule one day, he met me with a smile. He backed one ear, winked one eye, and kicked me half a mile. Whoa, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say, keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. Now this mule was a big one, he weighed 10,000 pounds. Every tooth he had in his head was 18 inches round. Whoa, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say, keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. I took him to the blacksmith shop to get his mouth made small. He opened his mouth, took a yawn, swallowed blacksmith shop and all. Whoa, mule, ho, ho, that mule, I say, keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay. I say, keep your seat, Miss Liza, ain't got long to stay.
All right, that was the now late, great Pete Seeger doing Old Gray Mule All right, and wonderful animal song to get us started this morning. Moving on, let's get into our chat with Sue with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Sue Martino of the Pet Project for Pets back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Duncan. How are you?
I'm great, and thanks so much for joining us again on Talking Animals. So we spoke on the show, I guess, about 4+ years ago, and as memorable as that conversation might have been, or might have at least seemed to us, I'm thinking that before we pick up where we left off, we probably should go back and review some basics. So let's start with, when was the Pet Project for Pets founded, and what were the circumstances that led to launching the organization?
The Pet Project for Pets was founded in 2002. It was organized as a grassroots effort to help people with HIV keep their pets. What was found was there was many social programs that provided for human food, housing, disability, prescriptions, but nothing, helped people keep their pets. So that's where it all began in 2002. That's how it started. And it has grown tremendously since then.
Sure. Well, we'll hopefully get into more of that. Who were the founders back then?
A woman named Arianna Testemark, her partner, Maureen Bohannon, and a gentleman named Robert DeBenedictis.
Okay. And then at what point did you come into to the picture?
I took over as the executive director in 2007.
Okay.
And I've been with the project ever since.
Great. Well, maybe you could describe, to the extent you're aware of it, sort of before 2007, but otherwise maybe when you arrived in 2007, maybe you could describe some of the first few clients that at least you had sort of direct hand in helping. What were their circumstances before the Pet Project for Pets intervened?
Okay. When I first took over, obviously the organization still catered to the HIV community at that time, and I certainly met quite a few people that were told by their social workers that they just didn't have enough money to maintain their companion pets and they should surrender them to shelters. This was the basic story continually that I heard. And in addition to that, we at the Pet Project were getting calls from senior citizens, people who were out of work due to the economy, other disabling conditions. And at that moment in history is when we expanded the Pet Project to include all disabilities, all terminal illnesses, senior citizens, and temporary assistance for people who are unemployed due to the economy.
Well, so that's great. So obviously really, widened out the clientele. Over what period of time was it broadened to that degree? I mean, that sounds like quite a much larger scope than obviously when the organization began. Was that fairly quickly, or is that a gradual thing to encompass all those folks in need?
Well, the first thing that we did was we included senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So that started in 2007, and probably in 2008, if I remember correctly, that's when we started doing the temporary assistance for people who are out of work because the economy mm-hmm. started to get bad. And, right along with it, we went ahead and included all terminal illnesses and disabilities. So, yes, we have grown from an organization that had 300 clients back in 2007 to an organization today that has 869 clients.
Wow.
And 1,001 pets we are maintaining today.
Well, those are impressive numbers. Let's focusing a little bit more for just a moment on sort of the core group of either the original constituency or others maybe with terminal illnesses, et cetera. Let me just take a moment and sort of play dumb, which sadly is not a huge stretch for me, and sort of ask you, why is it valuable to these people who are contending with an array of disabilities and again, often terminal diseases, to continue having their animals live with them?
Well, there's scientifically proven health benefits to pet ownership. I'll give you a couple of examples. One, it's been scientifically proven to lower blood pressure. Two, emotional support. Three, improve physical health. 4, a sense of worth. 5, a reason to get up each day. And 6, companionship. There's a few for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, all of those are significant just generally for most of us, really, if not all of us who live with animals. But again, in those cases specifically, it seems like it's critical. And so in the earliest days, was it strictly a financial issue that was posing a threat to some of these folks being able to continue to live with and care for their animals, or were there other issues too that sort of put those you know relationships in jeopardy?
It's really a financial issue,
yeah.
Because when somebody gets diagnosed with a disabling condition or a terminal illness, or as a senior citizen on living on Social Security, they basically in many cases just have enough to pay their basic needs. People were choosing between buying prescription medication or buying pet food. Seniors were feeding their meals to their pets in order to keep their pets.
Yeah. So it was just tough choices, and they didn't really have in their mind much choice to make.
No, there really was not. And like I said before, in many cases, like social workers and caseworkers were telling clients that they would have to surrender their pets.
Yeah, I mean, just on the most practical of levels, obviously, I'm sure most of these folks were concerned and compassionate, but it just probably was strictly a matter of numbers, of dollars.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, then let's talk more specifically about some of the services and resources that the Pet Project for Pets offers that enables these, you know, now kind of a huge array of folks to, even in tough times of one kind or another, to continue, you know, living with and caring for their animals.
Okay. We provide pet food, pet supplies, and pet vaccinations to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
We have a monthly food bank in Broward County and also in Miami-Dade County. We service both counties.
Oh, okay, great.
We have our pet food bank where our clients, we split them up. We give them a 3-month pet food supply, and we also provide vaccinations at that food bank.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. That's step one.
Yeah.
Two, we have many clients that are immobile or disabled and have no transportation. We deliver pet food to those clients. We also do dog walking and maintenance when people are disabled, or we do foster when our clients are hospitalized. And unfortunately, when in some cases clients pass away, we do foster and adoption for that pet.
Wow. So really, I mean, just in that regard alone, one way or another, you guys are ensuring that those animals are looked after. And again, sometimes it sounds like it's temporary and that, you know, maybe a medical situation, you know, flares up more significantly and that client has to go to the hospital for a certain time. So I gather that then somebody from the organization would arrange for that animal to be looked after until that client can return to the home.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Very sort of great version of situational fostering. Yeah. And then what are some other, I mean, not that those aren't fantastic alone, but as I understand it, there's quite a few other services and resources that the organization offers. What are some others, notable ones that we should address?
Well, we, like I said, we do vaccines. We also do spay and neutering for our clients. We have an arrangement with the Humane Society of Broward that provides, you know, neutering for any of our clients' pets, because what we, one of the qualifications to become a client is that your pet gets neutered, if it's not neutered already. We also do dog walking, you know, for people who get sick and can't maintain that any longer. We recommend and refer to low-cost vet care. We have veterinarians that we work with that give our clients discounts.
That's great, because again, a lot of this takes a lot of logistics and a lot of probably arm bending and whatever to get all these things to happen in this way. And also, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there even in some instances where the client's health is obviously not only compromised, but such that, that it's probably difficult or maybe not even wise for them to, say, look after the litter boxes or you know, other things where they would...
Yes, we have volunteers that go to the homes of our clients who can no longer do maintenance or are not able to do maintenance. And we do litter box maintenance. Like I said, we deliver the pet food. We do dog walking when necessary.
Yeah. And let me let people know, Sue, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guest is Sue Martino, Executive Director of the Pet Project for Pets. If you'd like to ask Sue a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email dj@WMNF.org. So, yeah, I mean, it really already is clear that, that sort of no matter what comes up, no matter what that client's specific situation is, the Pet Project for Pets is going to do everything and then some to ensure that, that they're able to continue living with and caring for their animals. And sounds like no stone goes unturned. How do people apply or how do people become clients of the Pet Project for Pets?
Well, on our website, the client application is printable. Also people call our office. We do outreach. We hand out who we are and what we do at many pet events locally and at our local Petco and vet offices. Our website is www.petprojectforpets.org, and our phone number is 954-568-5678.
And just broadly, Sue, I mean, what kind of criteria is there to be eligible for these sorts of services that you provide?
Well, there's a sliding scale. You basically have to be financially challenged, and you have to fit in one of the previously mentioned criteria: disabling condition, terminal illness, senior citizen, or unemployed.
Yeah.
For the temporary assistant. Everything is verified. And I also should note something. I want to note something also that we do. We have a very comprehensive database which determines the proper nutritional amount of pet food that we give. It determines for us the correct amount based on the weight, the breed, and the age of the pet. So we don't give extra food. We don't give too little food. We make sure the pets are fed properly and that they get the proper nutritional value.
Sure. And then I guess obviously then that food is provided with a very clear explanation and understanding that, hey, this is what we've determined until the next time you get
exactly. They get a feeding schedule. They get a calendar for pickup, everything that they need. They get the details of what they're going to pick up and when.
Right. So everybody's clear and there's no, no room for misunderstanding or people saying, oh, geez, we ran out early. And which,
right.
Again, I guess, preventing overfeeding or other things that just you probably to be really careful about the resources, just because there's 869 clients and 1,000 pets. You gotta
yes. Keep. And we also want them to be fed properly, not overfed.
Right, which, again, it's easy for any of us to do if we're not careful. So, very important, yeah. So Sue, how often, given what you just explained there, how often do you have contact with the clients, or does it vary a little bit with their circumstances and condition, or how do you determine that?
In other words, home check?
Well, I mean, just how often do you have contact with them in any form, whether it's, going by contact? Every day?
Clients call every day. Well, not all of them, of course.
Yeah.
But clients call into the Pet Project continually. Who can't make it to the food bank, who wants to pick up their pet food a little early, who needs a delivery because, their family's going to be in town and they can, instead of us delivering it, they can pick it up a little earlier. Questions continually. Vet care needed. A question about a lost animal that they've seen in the street. We talk to the clients continually.
So it sounds like it's less necessary that you need to touch base or follow up with them, because it sounds like they're, for, for a variety of reasons, frequently contacting you guys about one thing or another. So
yes, we do. We do give them a phone call a few days before the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole, you know, the plants that are scheduled to pick up at that food bank, we call them a few days in advance to remind them. The delivery clients are called a few days in advance.
Yeah.
You know, as to when we're going to deliver that pet food. So it's an open door.
Right.
A lot of communication.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. It sounds like both ways. Because, again, from what you describe, I'm sure some of those people may not have a lot of other contact other than, of course, the animal that you're nice enough to help them continue to live with. But I'm sure it varies a lot how often they're being contacted by, you know, other folks or other organizations.
Right.
So just the fact that there's kind of an ongoing relationship that way probably helps them in multiple ways.
That's true.
Well, gosh, it sounds like a large number of people are being served currently, and of course over the years, I'm sure, I don't know what the overall tally is, but can you give us some specific examples of folks who've been served at any point really in the organization's history? Maybe some instances that particularly stand out in your mind for one reason or another, just like, you know, two or three different clients, just particular instances that really maybe are notable or memorable in one way or another?
Okay, I'll give you a couple of examples. We have a recent client who wound up in the hospital, and he had a roommate or a friend or something like that, but he wound up in the hospital. He got a concussion. How this happened, I have no idea, but evidently the roommate let the dog out, and the dog was taken by animal care here in Fort Lauderdale. Now, the dog was 13 years old. And it was a white schnauzer. Had he not contacted us, like ASAP, as soon as he got out of the hospital, we found where the dog was, and we contacted them because we're a rescue partner with them. They held the dog. Chances are that dog would not have been adopted, number one. Number two, it might have been euthanized because of its age. Number three, we helped to reunite him with his dog. It was no circumstance that he did that had this happen. So, and he's now settled in a new apartment with his dog. And it's a wonderful story. I mean, there's a lot more details to it, but
yeah,
that's just what stands out in my mind at the moment.
Sure, because that sounds like it's got multiple yeah, sort of storylines to it, but great for everybody, really. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was just a week ago. We deliver to people, like I told you, and some of the people that we deliver to, I mean, they're between them and their pets. When we come to the door, when we pull up in the driveway, they are so grateful. I mean, I've delivered to a client in a wheelchair who could barely, you know, get around, you know, other than wheeling around in the wheelchair, and we even have to load her food into tubs for her to feed her two animals. But in terms of gratefulness, in terms of what the pets mean to her, it's all she has.
Yeah.
Disabled senior citizen, and they give her a reason to get up every day, basically.
Yeah. No, like you said before, when you were outlining some of the virtues, just the idea that, hey, this cat or dog or whoever is counting on me, and just all the things that go with that, and in addition to the companionship and sense of worth, et cetera, you know, the idea that they have to get up that next morning for the animal's sake, if not for their own, probably keeps a lot of people going that otherwise might sort of slow down or just be less inclined to be that active.
Yes, that's absolutely true. But we have another person, very special, comes to mind. He's a young gentleman. He's probably in his mid-40s. Unfortunately, he's terminal cancer.
Mm.
And he did nothing but stay in bed with his illness. And all he did was open the door to let his dog out every day.
Mm-hmm.
But because of this, because he got up every day to let his dog out, it gave him the strength to get better, not get better completely, but to help himself. Now he's active, you
mm-hmm.
know, as best as he can be.
Yeah.
But, and he'll tell you, it was because of the love of his pet, the companion. And he knew he had to let him out, so as much as he didn't want to get up out of bed, I guess, you know, he was ill and just felt miserable.
Yeah.
This dog gave him the real reason and helped him, and he'll tell you, if it wasn't for the dog, he wouldn't be alive today.
Yeah, no, it's really profound. And, you know, and as you're talking about this situation, again, let me just let folks know that might just be tuning in. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Sue Martino, Executive Director of the Pet Project for Pets. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9666 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So, Sue, as you were outlining that scenario, I couldn't help but wonder, especially because, again, there's need if certain clients are temporarily hospitalized or otherwise maybe unable, and you mentioned earlier that you're one of the many services you provide is fostering for those. Are there instances where you become aware of someone, let's say the gentleman that you just described didn't have a dog, even though that was crucial, obviously, to the story you told. But are there instances where you become aware of people who are fit in one of those categories that you otherwise assist, who don't have an animal but could greatly benefit in the ways that you have described from having an animal live with them? Is there ever any sort of ability or efforts to place animals with some of those people?
Yes. Actually, that comes up, or that has come up. We make some presentations occasionally at senior assisted living, you know, or senior living properties in our area. And that's, you know, we've been approached numerous occasions by these senior citizens who would love to have a pet and just couldn't afford it.
Sure.
So we have, you know, we've joined forces with a couple of the local animal rescues. And, you know, they waive the adoption fee and we place the animal. And the Pet Project provides the pet food. It's a new program for us. It's not something that we have the funding for to do on a large scale at this point. But it's definitely something that we have done. And we'd love to continue to do, and we'd like to expand to grow into doing more of that.
Yeah. No, it seems like such a natural kind of outgrowth of what the Pet Project for Pets does, again, because of the significant impact for people who, in this case, generally already have the animals. But, I mean, the sort of magical and healing properties of living with an animal is so profound that, yeah, I would think there would be all kinds of people that would just be so well served by adding an animal to their lives.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So Sue, one of the things I was going to ask you about, because when we spoke a few years ago, you had mentioned hopes to expand the reach of the organization's services, not necessarily expanding what you do, because as we've talked about, you have done that considerably. But I'm thinking more of a geographic reach, because I think when we talked, you were hoping to widen the scope to more of Florida, maybe even go national. Where do those expansion plans stand? Because coincidentally, I just have an emailer that just wrote in saying, anything like this in Pinellas, I am 70 and on a fixed income, and I've decided I will not be able to afford vet costs and flea and heartworm control after my current pet passes away. Depressing thought, not having a dog. So, yeah, so both between my general question and this emailer's specific question, or I know you mentioned that you have gone from Broward to some services in Miami-Dade, but are you thinking about or able to fan out even more broadly in Florida or beyond?
Truthfully, Duncan, I tell you from the organization, I would love to. Mm-hmm. I would be more than happy to. We are certainly qualified to, we just don't have the funds.
Yeah.
Hopefully maybe somebody will hear me on this radio station that would like to help us to expand. It's a challenge.
So in that way, I assume you are a 501c3.
Absolutely.
And so right now how are you funded at the moment? I think it's probably donations. I think now and again, I believe there's some grants that come your way.
Yes. I apply for grants, any kind of animal welfare grant or any kind of grant that fits in with our mission statement. We apply for, we get, I can name a few that we get: the Bachelor Foundation, Banfield Trust Foundation, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, the Petco Foundation. You know, they all help us, and there's others. I mean, that's just mentioning a few.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the next means of raising funds, we have a thrift store. We have a new building. We have our own facility now.
Oh, great.
And we have a thrift store.
Yeah.
Right in our own building, 3,500 square feet, beautiful thrift store called Hidden Treasures. All the proceeds benefit the Pet Project. We do fundraising events. Some of our local businesses, there's a bar called Mona's. Jerry Schultz does a major fundraiser for us every July. We have our own annual fundraiser, which is called Push Ups for Pets. That happens in November.
Okay.
We do a variety of other events. We do fundraising. You know, we ask for donations from corporations, from individuals. That's how we raise our money.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're dancing as fast as you can, and again, it's great that you've been able to expand the scope of services and resources. And it sounds like you're even adding new programs, like the idea of placing an animal with someone who otherwise doesn't have them. But it sounds like also, if I follow you, Sue, that what it would really take, for example, to answer this emailer's question in Pinellas or otherwise, it would take some significant funding, some sort of big foundations or other grants that would really give you a big chunk of dough to really be able to expand beyond what you're currently able to do. Because it sounds like the only real obstacle is financial. It's not necessarily lack of interest in doing that or even lack of resources. It sounds like it's if you had the money, you would absolutely expand.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because as I said, we have, you know, we have the database, comprehensive database. We have, you know, the experience. We have the volunteer base. We could expand. There's no question.
Sure.
We just need the funds.
Yeah. Well, let me let people know again, you mentioned earlier, but the website is petprojectforpets.org. If you want to find out a little bit more about the organization, or if people want help in some way, or if they have ideas, know of organizations, corporations, or other things that might be inclined to help provide these incredibly vital services. Another emailer writes in, Sue, saying, what happens to the pets after the owner passes away?
We foster the pet until we could find it a forever home.
Okay. So again, really, every scenario that comes up in every which way, you've pretty much got covered.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, that's great. Well, again, I just think so highly of the organization and the work that you do, and that's why I wanted to, like I said, it's been a few years since we've talked, and I wanted to bring attention to it again, and again, hope that people will listen and pass the word and check out the website. We've been speaking to Sue Martino, the executive director of the Pet Project for Pets. One more time, the website is petprojectforpets.org. Sue, thanks for joining us today on Talk Animals. And again, thanks for all your great work in so many ways for so many years now.
Thank you so much, Duncan. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, in just a few minutes, we'll speak with Kira Barrera about the Junior Girl Scout Troop. She leads that in pursuit of their bronze award. That's the highest honor Junior Girl Scout can achieve. Has decided to conduct a project dealing with animal neglect. And they're open to suggestion of just what specific form that that project should take. So right now, though, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. This is Mike Birbiglia with part of a piece called Arctic Fox. It's a setup on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
To see, I saw a lot of these animals that I see my whole life, like on these shows, like, you know, puffins and brown bears and eagles and porpoises. And it was like seeing celebrities. It was really weird. I was like, I really enjoy your work. I liked your earlier work as a cook. It was great. And, it's weird because there's a lot of bears in Alaska, and there's so many that they give you pamphlets just in case you get attacked by a bear, and they tell you to play dead, and that seems like a real gamble. There's like a bear clawing you in the head, and you gotta be like, yeah, I think this plan's working out. Sure, I'm getting clawed in the head now, but I gotta be thinking long term. Just a few more minutes. That's a lot of blood. Bear's like, he doesn't think I think he's dead, does he? Probably read the pamphlet. Then I found out the animal that kills the most humans per year, not even the bear, it's the hippo. I didn't even know hippos ate humans. I just thought they ate those little white marbles. I thought that was the point of Hungry Hungry Hippo. That hippos are marblevores. And it's so scary, you know, when you're in these places, because with the different bears, you got to know the different strategies. With brown bears, you got to play dead, and black bears, you got to run down a hill, and polar bears, you got to hand them sunglasses and a Coke. And it's like so, it's like school, you know, it's like bear school.
That was Mike Birbiglia with part of a piece called Arctic Fox, It's a Setup, taken from his album To Drink Mike. To fill us in on a local junior Girl Scout troop's plans to pursue its bronze award by way of a project dealing with animal neglect, let's welcome Kira Barrera to Talking Animals. Good morning, Kira.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first of all, just a couple of basic details. Where is the troop based and how old are its members?
So our troop is in kind of mid-Pinellas County, St. Pete, and the girls are roughly 10 to 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The bronze award is kind of the highest achievement that a Girl Scout junior can acquire throughout her.
And does that sort of cap off their junior Girl Scout career before they move on to full-fledged Girl Scouts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So this sounds really obviously significant. I mean, how did the girls in the troop that you lead or co-lead decide to focus on animal neglect for in pursuit of their bronze award?
Well, they had to do a workshop where they kind of went through a little training about the steps to, you know, reaching this accomplishment. And then we had a brainstorming meeting, and the girls threw out all kinds of different ideas of community needs that they had observed locally, from, you know, urban agriculture to, you know, better pedestrian walkways. But I think animals, it's just something that all kids, like, really just have a lot of compassion and empathy for.
Sure.
And, you know, they're voiceless, and, you know, they really felt like that was an area that they could make a big impact locally.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. It's also really ambitious, too, in multiple senses, including that animal neglect, as we've kind of traded emails about. I mean, sometimes it's tricky and sort of transitory and often a crisis situation when it's discovered. And obviously, you know, people swoop in and they do what they can. But it makes it, I think, extra challenging, perhaps, for a project of the kind that the troop has in mind for its bronze award. Have there been some initial discussions of what kinds of areas they'd like to focus on beyond just the broader area of animal neglect? Are there some organizations or shelters or sanctuaries so far that they're interested in?
Well, they definitely want to support and promote no-kill shelters. They feel very strongly that, you know, responsibility for animal ownership is huge. And so I think they want to work on developing educational materials geared towards other kids, really empowering kids to be able to help and, you know, offering education and resources to allow kids to make a difference for animals in the future.
Oh, cool. So sort of talk and aim their information to their peers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So if anybody has any information on hotlines, training resources, you know, programs that kids can be involved in the community for helping animals or reporting, you know, situations with animals that need help. So the girls are going to develop those educational materials and also create a social media strategy,
mm-hmm,
and possibly a website. So there'll be ways to get that information out. And then they found out that the ASPCA has Animal Cruelty Awareness Month in April. So they'd like to plan like a big kind of culminating event in that month.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, one of their media strategies, if they play their cards right, perhaps they can be discussed on Talking Animals. I can't promise, but so this sounds really good, because again, it does sound use a word I already used, but I mean, it does sound ambitious. I love the idea of developing materials for people of comparable age. But it also sounds like to do that they really want to be involved with other organizations that exist and get information.
Yeah.
So let's. I know you've kind of established an email for people who might be listening that would like to help these Girl Scouts help animal friends. So the email is stopanimalneglect.troop61858@gmail.com. So that's stopanimalneglect.troop61858@gmail.com. So anyone really that has any sort of suggestions or ideas for materials for some particular issues that maybe should be emphasized in the materials that the girls, I guess, will be developing. Other things, maybe including the media strategies, although so far so good there. and I guess anything particularly too that would help give a focus to the event that it sounds like you're aiming to culminate all this with in April.
Yeah, we would really appreciate that.
Right. So really, anybody who works with, runs, volunteers with an organization, really of any kind. And I also, am I right in thinking, Kira, that along the way as part of this, and again, part of learning and developing materials, that the Girl Scouts would be available to volunteer at certain events or help out?
Yeah, we're planning to participate in an event in Gulfport on February 22nd.
Okay.
And then we found some Southeastern guide dogs are doing some walkathons, so we thought we might, if we have our materials ready by then in March, maybe go out and try to participate in those. So any other animal-oriented events going on in the community, we would love to hear about as well.
Yeah, well, you're coming into a good season because there's, I mean, in the sense that it seems like February and March, there's often a handful of major animal events. I mean, Rothard Hut might... Had a bark in the park just because it's been going for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Is in March at some point. There's others. So, again, it won't be too hard to sort of look for those. But I just urge anyone listening who would like to help the Girl Scouts, perhaps help your own organization or event, the email to get in touch is stopanimalneglect.troop61858@gmail.com. stopanimalneglect.troop61858@gmail.com. So, Kira, well, good luck, and maybe we'll, if not before, maybe around April or thereabouts, we'll check back and see how it's all gone and get a progress report, and I'm sure the big event will be a big smash, but we'll track it along the way.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Good luck. Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. I'm Duncan Strauss. Towards the end of the show, we'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a copy of Wendy Kelly's book, Bougie and Me, 7 Lessons from the Dog Who Rescued Me, and we'll get to that in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Right now, though, time for animal news and announcements. Flea, our fabulous own Flea, sent me this morning. I think it might have run yesterday. Anyway, it's from the Tampa Bay Times. It's by Susan Thurston in the business section. I could be wrong about that. But the headline is Thurston, : Blackfish disturbing but doesn't warrant SeaWorld boycott. So anyway, it's a long piece. Has her own sort of take on blackfish and what it means relative to some of the boycotts that have popped up with various performers. Almost all of the originally scheduled performers that were going to play at this SeaWorld event have canceled, and now that's spilled over to SeaWorld's sister park, Busch Gardens. Ms. Thurston is addressing that, and anyway, it's interesting. As I kind of said to Flea in an email this morning, everybody's got all kinds of opinions. That's great. I mean, to me, it feels like she's kind of making sort of arguments and then arguing with herself through this piece. But check it out if you haven't already. So it's in the Tampa Bay Times, Susan Thurston, about blackfish and the boycott. Also locally, coming up, cool opportunity for those of us with female animals. The Humane Society wants you to beat the heat by spaying your cat in advance of the heat cycle and preventing unwanted litters from being born in the spring. So animal shelters commonly refer to springtime as kitten season. That is when they receive the largest influx of unwanted litters that are difficult to adopt. So the Humane Society does have this Beat the Heat campaign sponsored by PetSmart Charities. Can't get into the price for the surgeries for the female cats during the month of February, but it's a great, great deal. Let's just put it that way. So call 813-870-3304 for more information or to schedule an appointment. And you can also probably find out more at the website humanesocietytampa.org. I guess lastly here, may have time for one or two more, but from the AP, animal rights groups on Monday appealed to Pope Francis to end the practice of releasing doves from a Vatican window overlooking St. Peter's Square day after a pair of the peace symbols were attacked by a seagull and crow while a crowd including thousands of children watched below. The National Animal Protection Agency published an open letter Monday reminding Francis that domesticated doves are easy prey for predators like gulls. Gulls nest atop the colonnade of St. Peter's Square near the Tiber River, scavenge for garbage in Rome. The Animal Protection Agency, known as ENPA, said freeing doves in Rome was like, quote, condemning them to certain death. Anyway, the Vatican earlier Monday didn't reply to an AP query about whether it might abandon the practice. And that's the same Pope, by the way, who's on the cover of the new Rolling Stone. Yeah, I know. So, all right, that'll conclude things in the animal news announcements for the moment. Time now. Name that animal tune. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. The show website is talkinganimals.net. So, Name That Animal Tune is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WMNF member to win, and there'll be a prize. Again, a copy of the book Bougie and Me, 7 Lessons from the Dog Who Rescued Me. That's by animal behaviorist Wendy Kelly, past guest on Talk Animals, by the way. To the first person who calls in 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. We may have given it away by letting it play that long, but we try to be good that way. We try to be kind. So we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. I'll be back next Wednesday, February 5th, with another edition. I hope you'll join me then. I also hope you'll visit. All right, well, we got folks calling in, not surprisingly, I guess. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal, Tim?
The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway.
That's correct. What is your first name, sir?
Kent.
Tim?
Kent?
Kent?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, you have a one, the copy of the book. I'll put you on hold and get your information. Thanks for listening. Congratulations.
Oh, groovy. Thanks, man.
All right, we do have a winner, folks. I also hope you visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally, and follow us on Twitter. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net, where you can also find details about how to support Talking Animals and me in the Winter Fun Drive. Early, ideally. Early, I tell you. And the fantastic thank you gifts we have for pledges of various levels. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And maybe we'll save our cool animal tune. We're going to close out for next week. So, again, our thanks to Sue Martino from the Pet Project for Pets. One more time, the website there is petprojectforpets.org. And Kira Barrera, leader or co-leader of the local Junior Girl Scout troop, doing a cool project all about animal neglect and seeking your input and help and guidance. You can email them at stopanimalneglect.troop61858@gmail.com. stopanimalneglect.troop61858@gmail.com. All right, it is Talking Animals on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachi, and beyond. Thanks for listening. Speak with you again next Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Talking Animals. Thanks.